meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Winds of Change. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony. It's noon, so let's start with the Angelus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And a word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. It's a beautiful practice of the Angelus at 6, 12, and 6 every day. And I wish that we would, throughout Catholicism, would practice this more. I know that in early times in European towns where the church was the center, the Angelus bells always rang at those times of day where people would do it. I have often traveled to the Mideast, and I both with Jewish groups and with Muslim groups, and I remember flying like into Amman, Jordan, on Royal Jordanian Airways. And throughout the time of the night, when they have the arrow always pointing towards Mecca, they would get up and pray at a certain time. A couple of weeks, I'm going to be going back to the Holy Land, flying from here to Tel Aviv. And I know that there'll be many Jewish people on there. And through the night, they will go at certain times and pray. I've even been asked at times when I was on their flight, I guess they thought I was Jewish, and they would say, would you want to join us in prayer? You know, well, I pull out my rosary and pray that way, but that's okay. But it's a beautiful thing. We have to remember that. We're remembering God several times a day by doing this, and the story of our salvation. So we need to remember that type of thing. Yeah. So anyway, welcome again to The Winds of Change. Always good to fill in for Father Anthony. I was thinking of the state of the world today. You know, our world is upside down. There is no doubt about it. And one need only look at the news to realize that we're not in sync with God. Never in history has the world been more connected through our technology. But this interconnectedness seems to make us less, not more, in tune with our true nature. We are created by God to look to Him as our guide, not a consciousness of groupthink and moral uncertainties embedded in our minds by a secular ethic, which really defies the preeminence of the Creator. Only by pushing back on these forces can we properly pursue our goal of union, true union, with God. I think of today's, the saint of today, having gone to Mass this morning, and of course it was Saint Aloysius Gonzaga, and he was a noble. He was born in the Mantua, Italy family, the Aloysius or the Gonzaga family. I've been many times to his shrine in northern Italy, in Castellieri di Stiviere. And, you know, you read the stories about it. He was very enamored with the Jesuit missionaries in India, primarily. He decided to imitate their simplicity and his sacrifice. And much like St. Francis, he denied really his nobility. And he was studying Rome when the plague struck. And he begged alms for the victims and tended to the sickest patients, where he also succumbed to the disease himself. You know, I think of a lot of Saint Damien of Molokai and going there and you know, and ministering to the lepers, becoming a leper and dying of the disease himself. And I think it's a statement today where we can look at how we perhaps need to put aside our nobility, whatever degree we have it, and maybe look to be a little more simple. I think it's a beautiful thing. So my guest on the show today is Patrick Sabat. Patrick directs programming for the World Apostolate of Fatima. He also runs the Pilgrim Virgin Statue Program for the Apostolate. Patrick is here today to discuss the pitfalls of uber-cyber-connectedness and the alternatives to succumbing to this enveloping force. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave, and thank you for having me. Always excited to be here today.
Yeah, it's great to have you on and to interface with you. Of course, I'm the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima. Patrick is one of our key people here in the apostolate, and we don't talk enough. We're supposed to talk daily, I think, and we don't tend to do that. But we're all going in our different directions all the time. And
it's always good to talk to you, and while other people are listening and kind of, you know, all these kind of discussion, what we're doing, and of course the state of the world today, and also as regards to what we do in our apostolate. So again, thank you, and to all the listeners out there, thank you so much for having us both.
And that's exactly what we do. We are to bring a message of beauty and hope, of course, the Fatima message, which is the message of our Catholic faith. You know, we want to bring people to learn, live, and spread the message of Fatima. It's what we do. And, of course, you work not only in the communications and in the technology end of it, but you are also directing the Pilgrim Virgin Statue Program, which is a major outreach for us, and bringing Our Lady's presence to many different places. And we can get in, we've discussed that on these shows before, as to where we've gone everywhere in this country and around the world, and it's been beautiful. And I think it ties in very much to what our subject is today, about this cyber connectedness, that this is almost it is a scary type of thing, because we have lost or rapidly losing our individualism.
Yes, that's right. And at the same time, we need to be in this kind of a cyber world to be in a way connected, but does not lose, you know, who we are and what we do. You know, it's some sort of a tool that we need to do. But at the same time, you know, like we were discussing off the air earlier, you know, to highlight our individuality and, of course, our faith, to not get lost in it, you know, so...
Sure. Well, our individuality is given to us by God. I mean, He has not made two people that are identical. Even identical twins are different. You know, there mm-hmm. is a you know, we are just show you the magnificence of God, to think how many people have and are and will exist, and they're not two that are exactly alike. I mean, you know, a Hollywood star may have stunt doubles. And there are people that look similar and act similar, but even like I said, even identical twins aren't exactly the same. As a matter of fact, my father was a twin, and he and my Uncle Harry, his twin brother, may they both rest in peace, were as different as night and day. And we always laughed about that. I mean, I always say, are you sure you guys are not even twins, are even brothers? they were just so completely different personalities. And, you know, my dad was very outgoing in his work. My Uncle Harry was very reserved. Just many, many different things. But God makes us as individuals. And our individuality is the scary thing. The loss of that individuality is a very scary thing.
I also have nephews who are identical twins. Like, I even to this day, I really don't know how to tell them apart. They're my brother's sons, and they have they're my brother. He's got four sons, and the twin, they always trying to. My brother would always say, "Oh, you got to do this, you got to do that." But they're like you said, they're completely opposite people, two individual people doing their own thing. But at the same time, we live in a community, we live in a family, so the conformity is always is there. You know, like, oh yeah, we have to blindly follow our dads and all that. But no, they don't. And that's the idea here now. What we're trying to do is to resist. You know, the groupthink in the cyber world. We are connected, yes. In a similar way, we are living in the world, but not of the world, you know, as the scripture will tell us. You know, not to conform with the materialistic world, but rather we are founded in faith. We are, we're not only following the shifting norms, it can change any time. You know, the popular desires and all that. The culture is so dangerous. It's leading us away from God's laws and commandments. So I think there's a lot to be made here, you know, a lot of, to be said here. So. Yeah.
Well, I think that's exactly it. And of course, we also have twin nephews, my wife's brother's boys. And she'll say to me, and I'll talk to one, and I'll address them by who he is. She'll say, "Well, how could you tell them apart so much?" I said, "How could you not? I mean, they are different as night and day. I mean, they really are. There's different things, the way they act like, you know." And so, yes, you're right. There is an individuality that God gave us, and we have to take that and succeed in this world to the greater glory of God. You know, that's why he gave us individuality. I mean, it would be an awful boring world if we were, if we were like one thought, one call, everybody looked the same, acted the same. I would find it pretty boring, quite frankly. Yeah. So it goes to the essence of who we are as creatures of God. You know, it's nice to be individual, and that's important. But we have the commonality that we really have has to do with our spirituality and our connectedness to God. That has got to be our commonality, I think that as the world progresses or digresses, actually, we move away from that reality that the one thing we must have in common is that at least that desire to connect with God, you know, and I don't see it in our connected world. Okay, I mean we're on our phones, right? So we pick up the phone. The phone tells us, you get your texts, you get your emails. I mean, I get my alerts all the time on the phone as to what's happening, and I don't know. It's a little too programmed, I think, for who we need to be.
It's a scary scenario if you think about it. And, I was reading your article on the Voice of Fatima, which is available on our website, placing God above blind conformity. Now, I got to ask you, Dave, because I've been in America for, the last, 2008? So a little over 10 years, more years, probably 15 years now that I've been here. And the, American thinker is more individualistic, trying to get away, liberate freedom, and all that from the monarchy, running away from all that. And, it's a kind of American way of thinking to be more individualistic, trying to, stay away from that dogma and the principle, which is, embraced by our Protestant, the ethics here in America. But of course, our Catholic faith, we have to strike a balance between the individual mind, free thinker, and at the same time holding on to our beliefs, in the Catholic faith. And of course, the truth, who is God, the way to God. So maybe you you can elaborate more. Like I said, I've been reading your article. You know, what is this American thinking? You know, I am now an American citizen, and I think, you know, thank everybody for it. And but it's still, I haven't really kind of absorbed that kind of mentality, I don't think.
That's a very good perspective. And of course, you know, my wife, of course, is also a naturalized American citizen. And we have to take a break right now. When we come back, I'd like to explore that a little bit more. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI, Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and an 88.5 FM WSFI.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
I'm David Carollo, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony. And my guest today is Patrick Sabat. And Patrick, before when we went to break, we were talking about the perspective, the different perspective of myself as a native-born American, born in this country, of course, on the south side of Chicago. And of course, yourself and my wife also, you know, you've been in this country maybe 15 years. Of course, Dorothy's younger, but she was a young girl when they came from Poland. And every once in a while, I get the comment from her, you know, you American people. I said, wait a minute. You've been here almost all your life. Don't tell me you are. But that's how it's, you know, but she does have a very European perspective on certain things. And I think that whole idea of this individualism, and it really does come, I mean, the real Protestant ethic and, you know, this total individualism, and we have to be realistic that we can only be so independent, you know, but God gives us an independent mind, but his mind, he gives it to us to seek him and to seek the truth. Okay. And I think, you know, sometimes the ethic in this country is to define what is that goal, not to take what God has already laid there for us. So I very much agree with you that we have, it is there, but what's happening in this with the cyber world right now, as I wrote in that article and what you're bringing out, is that, you know, it's like we don't look first into our own psyche for answers or for how to direct our actions, but we look to see what is acceptable out there. Well, you know, that's scary. And not what's acceptable by the rules of the church and of God, but what is acceptable by what is happening, the flow in society. And that's the real danger, it really is.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's you're, you know, 100% right on that. We are so focused in conforming to, you know, group norms or the society and following what's popular that we often forget about our own individuality. You know, that's what I always tell my children. You know, they were born in the Philippines and then we moved here when they were really small. And, you know, now the emphasis on faith You know, because we should never let blind conformity, I think that's what we're talking about, the blind conformity to take over our lives. You know, you have social media now, the Facebook, the Instagram, and now TikTok. Can you believe, you know, a lot of young children are watching, you know, they call it the video shorts. Right. And they try to copy or imitate what's in it. You know, sometimes are really dangerous and, you know, for their health safety and very risky. You know, the cyber world is out there. You know, it's almost like a hypnotic force influencing, especially the young children. So they're, you know, they do what is popular, you know, as you know, like, this is not what God wants you to do. God wants you to think for your own. You have your free will, but of course, it should lead us to the truth.
Yeah, well, and that's the whole point. You know, we cannot look for acceptance, and this is what's happening to these young people. And it's dangerous because you want your children to think as individuals, but individuals focused on God. And they're not going to be focused on that if they're overwhelmed by everything that comes at them. You know, in that same article you talk about, I refer to the Star Trek TV series and the Borg, for those who remember that, and they would assimilate cultures, and then they connect their minds, and, you know, that's how they control them. I said, whoa. I remember when I thought about writing this article, that's the first thing that popped into my head, was that whole thing of, you know, this force, if you will, out there, that is just enveloping the world. And it's demonic. I mean, I'm sorry, it truly is, because anything that takes us away from focusing on what God wants of us and the direction we're supposed to be in truly is of demonic origin. It has to be. So our goal is to keep it on what we do. Okay, for example, I mean, promoting the message of Fatima, right? And many of the things that we're seeing today, Our Lady pointed out 106 years ago. I mean, we're looking at maybe she didn't define the technology of the day, but she certainly defined what was going to happen, what was enveloping, if in fact we did not put away our sinful ways and make reparation and bring back our society, correct?
I think it's you know, we call it the warning of departure. You know, the world is departing from the laws of God, you know. And she actually delivered this crucial warning about the consequences of it, of departing from the laws of God. And she emphasized the importance of adhering to the divine law. You know, because there's a lot of pitfalls of sin, occasions of sin. You know, even you go to the, you know, you go to the city, you go to the beach, anywhere you go. You know, you turn on your TV, you browse your cell phone, and whatever, you know, you do, there's always these pitfalls of sin, and we will not be truly happy. Again, you indicated in one of your articles about this, you know, with the, I think it's one of the books of Dr. Robert Lustig that you were telling us about, the hacking of the American mind.
So very good book, because he really points out, okay, and he specialized in neuroendocrinology and child obesity, and he's at the University of California in San Francisco. Somebody pointed the book, actually it's funny, the person who told me about this book and handed it to me was one of my associates, somebody who was doing work for us in Portugal when I was there. Mm-hmm. She was talking about this book, and I said, whoa, this is really good. I was like, highly recommend it, because it talks about, you know, he talks about the difference between pleasure and happiness. You know, again, pleasure is obtained by what? Satisfying our urges, all right? And, you know, there is a reality that's how, you know, sinfulness continues. You know, there's no such thing as a happy sinner, because the sinner is looking to bring more pleasure, because that masks the unhappiness. A truly happy person needs no further feeding of their needs. It's there, and they find that truly in union with God. And I think, and that's what Dr. Lutzig points that out. But like he says, you know, but if every time you turn on television, there's a television commercial that tells you, you know, that you're unhappy, but if you buy this product, you're going to be happy. You know, and if you keep hearing it, you're not going to say, man, maybe I am unhappy, and maybe this is going to do it for me, you know. And children are so extremely vulnerable to this. That's where the alarm bells really have to go off, you know. And certainly it's marketing. Yeah. I mean, you know, I grew up in America and marketing. My father had a store at one time, and you had to market things. I'm not putting down our whole system here. But the reality is it was truly a matter of just, you know, it's one thing to market your products, okay? And if you want to present something, show the benefits of it, not just, you know, not just saying it's going to, don't manipulate people psychologically with it. And that's the problem we find today, you know? So,
It's all over the place. Yeah, you're right. You know, you even billboards and, you know, commercials, TV ads, like you said, you know, marketing.
Yeah.
And it's scary because even, you know, they're marketing, you know, food industry, the tech industry, the, cosmetics, you know, oh, use this and you're going to be beautiful. Use this and you're going to be like this. And, you know, trying again, going back to that conformity, you know, you are blinded by that. And it doesn't lead, you know, believe it or not, people, it doesn't lead to true happiness. You know, even if you're the most beautiful, cosmetically beautiful person, you know, like you are, you know, and they dictate what you should look like. They dictate what you should eat. They dictate, you know, like influence. It's funny, again, we were talking about earlier today, you know, the influencers of social media. And it's a real term now. It's influencer. You know, they hire these people to put ads on TikToks and Instagram and, you know, all over the place to influence others. Yes. It used to be frowned upon to influence others like that. But now it's the norm. So, again, it's scary. It doesn't bring lasting happiness. It doesn't, you know, it's pleasure or happiness. You know, what's our take?
And these are two different things. But when you're, like you say, when you're inundated with it, you know, I have one of my godchildren who is in his college now. He's in his 20s. I remember when because they were, she's American, he's British. They lived in Britain for quite a while, where the commercialism is a little more toned down. And when her first child was born, you know, there, then they moved back to the U.S. and that's when my godson was born, and they were saying to me, you know, we're hoping that he will not be as inundated, you know, with what's out here now in this country, as opposed to how it was with his brother as he was growing up in Britain, you know. And it's true, there's quite a difference. Now, of course, there's a lot of commercialism there too, don't get me wrong, in the West in general. But it's, you know, you can't go anywhere. And you know, Patrick, you look at the initiatives that we have worked on as an apostolate, and I mean, we would put up billboards, and you know, the perfect example is right here at the studio at St. Stan Costco along the Kennedy Expressway. We had that wall for a while with, if you remember that banner we had up, says, "The world is in desperate need of help. We have the answer." It was a picture of Our Lady, and it had our website, BlueArmy.com, on there. You know, now, I mean, the number of people that drove by on a Kennedy Expressway, now the Archdiocese realized the value of that, and they use that spot for advertising schools and all. But God bless, you know, Father Anthony allowed us to do it for some time. And people, the number of people that go by and just read that banner as they went by, I hope that positively influenced them. But, you know, but right across the street, there's another big one. It's one of those blip boards that changes every 10 seconds. I don't know what the timing is. And they get top dollar for that, just based on the number of people that go by and read that and are consciously or subliminally affected by it. And I think, you know, this is the whole thing. I mean, we have to avoid these things. We have to try to avoid this as much as we can. I mean, we're not, you know, obviously we don't live in a bubble. We can't. You know, we all travel a lot. We're doing other things, you know. But there is, we have to keep our eye on the prize. I think that's what it comes down to. And I know that's, you know, that's what we do as an apostolate. And that's really, I think, what we try to present for people, you know, because that's really where we, you know, we want people to identify what people are all about. We don't want to objectify people. What we want to do is direct people to the inner part of what a person is, okay? And that mm-hmm. is the presence of God. You want to be able to see God in people, not the physical attributes, okay? And if a man or a woman is constantly seeing these perfect-looking people in front of them, you know, a man seeing that, a woman and a man, you know, it's not going to keep for a lot of marital fidelity and you know, true vision on who you are and who your spouse is. So it's insidious. Yeah, it really truly is.
But yeah, I think it's better, you know, at this point to highlight the significance of God-centered relationships, you know, like you're talking about marriages now and friendships right. as opposed to self-serving endeavors, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, Patrick, we have to take another break. When we come back, I'd like to follow up on that theme about real, true, and solid relationships, what they are made of, and how we, with our work, promote this. So David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI, Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM, WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org. To find out how.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause, and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
Welcome back. David Carollo is sitting in today and commenting on that last advertisement. We have to move the cause for Bishop Fulton Sheen along, because it's so sad that it's kind of stalled right now. I don't know what's causing it, but it's unfortunate. I believe even a miracle is in place. And I've had Dr. Peter Howard on this show in the past, and we've discussed it. And I've been on his podcast, too, and we've discussed this whole thing of Bishop Sheen and where it's going and more importantly, where it should go. So let's pray for that cause. I think it's very good. So Patrick Sabat is here with me. Patrick, when we left off, we were talking about the importance of, you know, friendships and unions being based on truth, you know, which is really what true happiness is made of. And I think that's really what, you know, what the message of Fatima is, what the Catholic faith calls to be, that we see people through the prism of God, you know.
And, that's yeah, actually, kind of, we are, you know, we discuss this all the time. How do we spread the message of Our Lady of Fatima, which is really relevant even in our own family, you know. Even our family dinner, we sit around our dinner table with our family. Of course, relationships always begin with the family. And just as Our Lady of Fatima came to warn us, you know, we can use these moments to share with our children, you know, share stories of saints and, you know, the virtues, especially the children of Fatima. We encourage discussions about faith and even moral principles. you know, it's time flies. My son is in senior high school now, you know, and this age, it's a little, you know, it's challenging in a way, but it's fulfilling, you know, asking them, even my 10-year-old girl, you know, to ask them to choose their entertainment wisely, you know, turn on the TV or their cell phones. And, you know, we have to discern what we do and choose the media consumption wisely, I guess. And it's part of the message of ACMA, time, all that.
Well, you know, Patrick, you know, there can be as many parental controls as they want to put on, but these kids are smarter than us when it comes to getting around those things. Let's be realistic, okay? I mean, you're a lot younger than I am, and these kids, I mean, they're so techie, and they're techie. I mean, I was 35 when I got my first computer, so, you know, for me, I mean, I'm relatively techie. I think I do pretty well, but I'll be honest with you. You know, nothing like the generations that have come. And so, you know, I have a nice list of young people that are on my call list whenever I have a problem, you know, let's try this one, try that one for this. But it's true. But again, you know, there's nothing is going to protect them from what's out there more than the moral training that you give them. Okay. And that you reinforce, even if they get older. If they go off path, you want to bring them back. Because that's what it's all about. And that's what we have to stand up, and I think we do, I hope we do, as individuals and as an apostolate, to say we do not have any angst towards individuals for who they are, okay? But we have to be willing to say and do the right things and even be unpopular, okay? That's been a problem. There's many people don't want that uncomfortable family dinner, and you know how that is. I mean, we all experience it. But I think that we have to be willing. And I often quote Mother Angelica when she would say that people who tell people what they need to hear love them. Those who tell people what they want to hear love themselves. And those are profound words when you really think about it, because they are, that's exactly it. I mean, we have to be willing to have an uncomfortable situation sometimes if it brings the word out. But if we're going to admonish a sinner, you know, just like my parents did many times when I was young, you know, it wasn't done out of disdain for me. It was done out of love. And I think that's what we always say. And they, you know, we have to make people understand that. So if you're talking about a lifestyle or something that's not right, you're doing it because you don't want them to be lost. You know, this is the Fatima message. You know, we are working, to help bring, for the salvation of souls. That's what we're out here for. That's why we have our statue visitations. That's why we have all of our things. And you know, Patrick, and again, you know, you're on the road a lot with this program, and you've seen the great conversions that happen when people come to these things. You know,
You know, it's funny how you mentioned that statue tours, and I spent a lot of time on the road and meeting a lot of people, and I get asked a lot, you know, because of course people are asking, oh, have you seen miracles? What kind of stories? And, you know, all that questions, and I guess they're wanting to relate to the statue tours, you know, how are they going to be able to connect with Our Lady, you know, seeking answers to their questions or probably solutions to their problems. And there's probably one word that I can tell you right now that's the most common, I wouldn't say problem, but the most common issue that they wanted to resolve when they approach Our Lady. It's relationships. You know, it's either mother-daughter, it's either, you know, husband and wife, it's, you know, sibling to sibling, all those things. It's because of, you know, friends and all that, or even work. It's a kind of a relationship. So those are the things that people are praying for and asking Our Lady to intercede for them to help build their relationship. And, you know, Our Lady is always the Queen of Peace. You know, we always say that. And Our Lady of Fatima is the Queen of the World, the Queen of Peace, and the message of peace. This is what she is bringing to us. And I always say she's not only the queen of the world or the queen of peace for the world. You know, when you say peace, oh, yeah, it's world peace. It's what we all want to have. But I want to go to the nuclear, you know, go to that basic, the nucleus of the society. It's the family, you know, to build relationships with the family. And this is what she's always asking us, you know, to do that. And I believe, you know, with the warning of Our Lady about departure from God's laws and leading to happiness, it's all connected, you know, what we're talking about. It. That's why I like your article. I love all your articles, but I think this is the one that stands out the most, especially connecting it to the culture, resisting to what the world and the influencer is telling us to do, to resist. And God above all else.
Yeah, because it's just sucking us in, and that's what happens. I mean, you know, plus it's pleasant to go along with the flow. Let's be realistic, you know. And we have to always be, you know, a Christian. I mean, a person of God. I mean, Our Lady. You know, look at the life she lived. You know, we always look at the life of Christ. Of course, He's the Savior and all, but look at the life of Mary, who was totally human. Okay, and how she, you know, she was given tremendous grace, and but you know what? Do you think that she stayed pure and away from sin without effort? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, it took, you know, she could have walked away from all of this too. Her yes in the beginning is what allowed it. I mean, I wonder if she had not said yes, be it done unto me according to thy word. Would there have been salvation to the world? Would he have tried someone else? I don't think so. I don't know. That's beyond my pay grade here. But think about that. I mean, it started with her yes, and then her continual, perseverance, you know, as this person that was really our true guide, you know, and I mean, Christ Himself was human as well as divine. And you know, that's something to be pondered, because, you know, we are, they were different from us, but not that different. They were really what we were meant to be. Okay. You know, whenever the reason we needed a Savior was because of our first parents bringing sin into the world. But again, we can't keep pointing to them and saying, see, if only you hadn't done this. Well, better if they hadn't. But who's to say somebody else wouldn't have brought sin into the world in another generation or whatever? So we have to be, you know, we have to look at that very philosophically, you know, and we have the models. We have the perfect models to keep us, you know, again, that's our cyber world, or it should be, you know, and you find that through prayer, you know, and there are so many beautiful aids nowadays for, you know, obviously the best is to make your way to Mass every day and stay close to confession and all of these things. But there are just, even like looking, you know, the internet may be a wasteland, okay? But on the same token, you know, there's a lot of good things that are available out there if you seek the right things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're driving on a road. You can turn in one direction and find, you know, sin and crime and whatever, and you go in another direction and find serenity. You know, that's part of our choice. You know, we have to do it. And we can make this techno world, if you will, a better thing, you know. And the more we put, and we put out our initiatives, right? I mean, you know, go to our website, go to bluearmy.com. You know, Patrick, I mean, you're very much involved in our podcasting when we put out our Fatima Today, these blogs, like what you're referring to, the article, you know, all that's on bluearmy.com. And again, I think it's all there for all of you to have, you know, a window into what we do, and hopefully join us to look at that beautiful pledge that our founder worked on with Sister Lucia in 1947, you know, the pledge to live the life that Our Lady wanted, to live the message of Fatima. And that's really, you know, that's huge. I mean, that's really what it's about. And we can make our way to salvation, because that's the reason for this. You know, so many people, and you get this question, Patrick, and so do I, They said, well, do you think that these terrible things are going to happen? What about this prophecy about what could happen? What about nations being annihilated? What about... And I said, stop and listen, folks. You know, if you lose your soul, none of that matters. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have to work for our own salvation and to help bring others to that. And, you know, all these things that can happen in the temporal world are terrible. We want to avoid war. We want to avoid difficulty. But the reality is, you know, if we avoid all that and then we continue on our path and we lose our souls, we've lost everything.
Mm.
Anyway, I'll take one more break here. And when I come back, let's follow up on that and the work that we are, you know, how we're doing it with our apostolate, our initiatives, and how we hope to help get away from this cyber world. So David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI, Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
I'm David Carollo, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back. David Carollo is sitting in today for Father Anthony. And I have as my guest today, Patrick Sabat. Patrick is, we've been discussing the stumbling blocks of the cyber world, how to hopefully avoid them. And of course, to the best way to do that is to stay close to God, stay close to devotions. And I, for people in Chicago that are listening, I would like to direct you to the Chicago Blue Army. And you can call 312-405-6625 to get information on the events that are happening in the Chicagoland area. But Patrick, when we left off, we were talking about the need for us to make our world safer and better and all that. But there is something we have to realize. You know, again, and we pointed it out in the last segment that it's really bringing people. Helping people come to salvation, first finding it for ourselves, obviously our first obligation, but then to have people want this, okay? You know, I mean, I refer to the Old Testament often. I always like Old Testament readings. I think because there was a more stern God than the one that's portrayed today, you know, not that he's your buddy and all of that. Well, I know it goes that far. But I think about when Abraham bargained with God, okay? And he asked if he would spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there were 100 then 50, then down to 10 inhabitants of the city, you know, and obviously there weren't, and he destroyed the city. But so had it been spared, you know, would the sin and the evil that was there have expanded? And that's what we have to think about when we ask God, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, spare us. Yes, we want that. We do not want to suffer war. We do not want, and war is a punishment for sin. All adversity is a punishment for sin and ill action. But we have to realize that even when the time of Noah, when the flood came, you know, into some, it was a merciful act on the part of God, as difficult as that may seem, because it was to stop the evil from getting worse and, of course, perpetuating with other people. So this is how we have to look at things, and that's what we try to do as an apostolate. You know, Patrick, maybe just say a few words about, you know, like on the statue tours, because that's a big, that's the part of the program that you truly run. And, you know, I think, what do you see when the people, you've alluded to it a little bit, some of the things that people have said. I've experienced it myself, having filled in, doing some tours and speaking places. But, you know, people have to understand what they're really, what we want to see. We want to see people be saved, because that's what it's all about. And that's what the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart is all about, to enlighten people to be living properly.
Right. I believe the bottom line is sanctification of souls. Even Padre Pio say, you know, the fastest way, the easiest way to go to heaven is to bring somebody else with you. And that is exactly what we are trying to do with statue tours. Always invite people, you know, give them a chance, give them an opportunity. And by the way, we're going to be in the Chicagoland this coming September. We'll be the north side of the Archdiocese of Chicago, around Schaumburg area. And then before that, we will be in the Grand Rapids, Michigan, actually coming up next month in July, a little bit of the Northwest Indiana region in the Diocese of Gary. And again, bringing people together, asking them to be part of Our Lady's Blue Army, because again, we are a spiritual army on our knees in prayer. And again, building up to this, you know, the relationship with God, that's how Our Lady wants it, you know, build God-centered relationships. And this is exactly what we're talking about. That's why even on our website, because that's what we do with statue tours, to give them the tool, give them the opportunity to venerate Our Lady, establish relationship with the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and, you know, acts of consecration to her Immaculate Heart. And the programs that we bring, the statue is not simply, you know, the statue tour is not simply looking at the statue as if we are inviting them to go see a beautiful statue. It's not a museum-style pilgrimage, but it's a whole program to help us live the message of Fatima. And we attract them to that important message. Even the BlueArmy.com, our beautiful website, you know, we have the Great Promise Passport, we have Fatima Consecration, the Night of Love, you know, it explains and guides for Fatima Night Vigil of Reparation for First Friday, First Saturday. So we have those prayers, and beautiful. Even for, we have also the 5-part free video series with Father Gillespie, Immaculate Heart of Mary, Hope for the World. So a lot of tools. Again, we're talking about cyber media, cyber connectedness, but we want to use it for God and for God's greater glory. So that's how we are doing it, to share the message of Our Lady of Fatima and her warning about the departure from God's law leading to unhappiness.
Right, right. And we have to use the tools in front of us. You know, I always talk about that. I'm going to be going off to the Holy Land soon, and I always been there many times, but there's one place that always impressed me, and that's when you're on the north side of the Sea of Galilee near Tagba, on the southern face, if you will, of the Mount of the Beatitudes. And there is an area right there along the mountainside where there is this rock formation, and it creates like a natural band shell, okay? And when you stand there, and the guides who really know and the scholars will tell you, that's where our Lord was when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, when he spoke to the masses down along the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, like Tiberias. Well, my point is this: he used the technology of the day. Okay, you know, that was there. He stood
that's
out.
Right.
He could have put these thoughts in people's minds because he was God. But he stood there and he spoke from that point where his voice certainly would have carried out, you know, no different than having the internet or having a microphone or a bullhorn or whatever, you know, this was the technology of the day and he used it accordingly. So we have to take that and do the same thing. And the technology of the day is on these computers, it's on these cell phones, these smartphones, which are probably smarter than us in many ways, but they are, you know, they're there. We have to use these things to get this message out. If we don't do that, we're not really doing our job.
You know, this reminds me of Saint Mother Teresa, who said, spread love everywhere you go. Let no one ever come to you without leaving happier. I think if we put it out on our social media, we put it out there, you know, spread love wherever you post or something like that. You know, exactly. Let no one ever come to you without leaving happier. We show love and compassion to those around us. We can be a living example of Christ's teaching and make a positive impact on others, even within our own family.
No, that's correct. I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, I look at what just went on in California, this thing with the Dodgers and this award that they gave to this group, you know, which really is so very anti-Catholic, and it's horrible, and it is angering to us, okay? But my question is, you know, and protesting and all that is proper. Believe me, I think the church needs to openly protest these types of things because they're direct attacks on our faith. But the reality is this: how many prayers were said for these people? Okay, that if you know, I mean, it's easy to criticize, it's easy to be angry, and we do get angry at these things. But do we pray for the people? Do you pray for souls, for people to maybe see an error in their ways and come back to you know, following the laws of God? I mean, that's our job. Our job is not to win over them. Our job is for Christ to win them and take them back. And that's what we have to do for the, you know, and when Our Lady showed the vision of hell at Fatima, you know, what did she say to the children? You've seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go and people are there because there's no one to pray and make reparation for them. And that's our job, to pray and make reparation for sinners. And, you know, and that's simple as that. It's not a, you know, it's not a difficult concept if you really think it out. But we need to know that we're not the smart ones here. You know, God is, and by putting it in the hands of Our Lady and our Lord, you know, it's as you say on the statue tours. I love the sign that is in front of the statue: "Do not touch her; she will touch you."
Right? Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's I don't know if you came up with that or not, but I like that. You
know? I've seen many priests who saw that sign who changed their homily and emphasized that instead and make a whole homily out of it. So it's really touching.
It is really touching and very important because we are really, you know, you're going to bring the message. You can only bring a message that you're carrying yourself. You know, you cannot give what you do not have.
Well, yes.
We first have to get it in our hearts, and by having it in our hearts, then it can emanate to other people. That's really the only way it's going to happen. But Patrick, I know that if they want more information on the tours, go to blowarmy.com.
Blowarmy.com, yeah.
More detail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and any final words you'd like to say about, you know, where we're at today is this program.
Well, with this program, I think we are based, you know, our family values lead us to the truth. We deepen our faith and create lasting memories centered around Catholic values. We have to remember that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for being here today, Patrick. It's great. And for more information on our apostolate, the World Apostolate of Fatima, the Blue Army, go to blewarmy.com. Many initiatives and many things, and God bless you all.
Thank you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears. be strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed.